What will it take to keep people in their homes amid continued pandemic dislocations? I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning. Money to help renters and landlords has been slow in getting from the U.S. Treasury to the parties in need. In June, things did pick up, with the Treasury Department saying $1.5 billion was distributed in rental assistance last month. That's more than the previous 3 months combined, but that's just 6.5% of the $50 billion allotted. And the federal moratorium on evictions is set to expire in just over a week. Here's Marketplace's Samantha Fields.
The main reason it's taking so long for rent relief to get to the people who need it?
We're trying to scale up an emergency rental assistance program over a year into this pandemic.
Will Fisher is with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. He says when Congress approved those billions in rent relief, there was almost no infrastructure in place to distribute the money. Now, there are hundreds of programs processing applications, but
there are a lot of forms that clients have to fill out. Once clients have completed their portion, their landlord has documents to submit, and it really is a time-consuming process.
Zach Newman is with the COVID-19 Eviction Defense Project. He says with the CDC moratorium about to expire, states need to put policies in place to protect people while they're waiting for rent relief. One option?
Basically making application for rental assistance a full defense to eviction. So if you've applied for rental assistance, you can take that to court and the judge will say, we're going to dismiss this case for now.
And give the rental assistance more time to come through. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
According to the Wall Street Journal now, the Biden administration today will announce new help for people who can't pay their mortgages in pandemic. It's about cutting monthly payments by about 25%. For people where mortgage forbearance is about to run out. It's been a week since Los Angeles reimposed the rule requiring masks for people mixing indoors. You can still eat indoors at bars and restaurants, and businesses are still working out how to serve customers, do the masks, and help keep everyone safer. Marketplace's Caroline Champlin has more.
At Bar Franca in downtown LA, the cocktail bar is gearing up for the weekend with a team meeting. Owner Rachel Thomas is making the biggest change to the bouncer's job.
He's already checking your ID. Now he's going to check and see if you're vaccinated.
The bar will also accept proof of a recent negative COVID test. Thomas says she's going beyond what's required by the mask mandate.
I was just like, how do you mandate masks in a cocktail bar? You can't drink and have a mask on at the same time.
Thomas figured restricting access was the best way to make customers comfortable as cases go up among unvaccinated people. But at a nearby tasting room, Pally Wine, they aren't going that far. Assistant General Manager Karina Carrillo says patrons do need to show up wearing a mask.
And then we seat them, and then once they have their food items, their wines, they can take off their mask and enjoy.
LA County health officials say about 30% of residents are not vaccinated. I'm Caroline Champlin for Marketplace.
The 32nd Olympiad out of Tokyo is starting. Media and some visiting official delegations are there, but foreign spectators were banned, with the country's vaccination rate running at about 23%, less than half the rate in the U.S., the U.K., Germany, Italy, France. The games always cost a fortune, and our colleagues at the BBC have been looking into prospects for Japan earning its money back this time. Sasha Twining filed this report for us.
The International Olympic Committee has the honor of announcing that the games of the 32nd Olympiad in 2020 are awarded to the city of Tokyo. Yeah!
That was the moment the former president of the International Olympic Committee, Jacques Rogge, announced that Japan would be hosting the 2020 Olympics. Over the years, only a small handful have made any money. The last games, Rio in 2016, is estimated by the American Economic Association to have made the biggest net loss yet, leaving the country around $2 billion out of pocket. There's the infrastructure needed. Naturally, the stadia, from scratch or upgrading of existing, places for athletes to train and stay. It took Montreal 30 years to pay off the last of its debt from the 1976 Games. So if you add a global pandemic into the mix, what will the figures look like then?
The Games will have cost Japan somewhere in the order of $35 billion.
Andrew Zimbalist is Professor of Economics at Smith College in Massachusetts. He's also the author of the International Handbook on the Economics of Mega Sporting Events.
the Tokyo Organizing Committee will receive total revenues on the order of $4 or $4.5 billion. I'm afraid that this is a sunk cost. At this point, they're trying to minimize the PR damage and to avoid greater embarrassment.
Well, let's get another opinion from Michael Payne. He's formerly of the International Olympic Committee and advised the teams behind the successful bids of London, Rio and LA.
Tokyo's had the most successful Olympic marketing program ever, 3 times higher than Rio 5 years ago. But because they will have no ticketing revenue, there probably will be a shortfall in their budget that the government will have to make up. The tourism legacy is what comes 1, 3, 5 years after the Games. And I wouldn't count the Japanese out just yet in staging an Olympic Games that will be magical, will be special, and still surprise the world.
So in spite of the absence of audiences at venues for the delayed 2020 Olympics, it seems likely that Japan will put on a show to remember. I'm the BBC's Sasha Twining for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.